Genesis 9 today on Through the Word, a new world and a new covenant. Noah and his family are out of the ark, and we left off with Noah meeting with God at the altar. There at the place of sacrifice, God makes a series of blessings and promises, all part of a covenant that God made with Noah and with every living creature, including you and me. If you're not sure what a covenant is, tune in. Covenant is quite possibly the key concept to understanding the flow and message of the scriptures. A covenant defines the terms of a relationship, like a contract. It is the promises and commitments made in order to work together, to live together, or love together in communion. Follow the story of the covenants in the Bible, and you will see the terms by which God forms his relationship with mankind, with us. Covenant is at the core of what it means to be a Jew or a Christian. That's a big deal. So let's dig in at verse 1. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." Here in the first three verses, God's blessing to mankind included both fruitfulness and new food. Animal meat was now on the menu, as apparently humans were vegetarian before the flood. But a rule is added to this meat eating in verse 4. "But you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood." That's the rule. Don't eat blood. It's a sensible one for health and safety reasons, but there's got to be more to it. Consider the setting. This is a big moment. Blood consumption is a huge deal in the Mosaic Law, and in Leviticus 17, God explains why. "You must not eat the blood of any creature, because the life of every creature is its blood." Pagan rituals around the world understand this. Drink an animal's blood in order to absorb its life. Even later in Acts 15, the apostles set out only four laws for Gentile Christians, and two of them were about not consuming blood. So what is the big deal about blood? The key to unlock this whole thing is in John 6. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." So what does that mean? Don't try to find life anywhere but in Jesus. Every other blood is mortal. It will kill you. But seek life in Jesus' blood, and the life you find will be eternal. Next up in verse 5, God calls for a reckoning for the lifeblood of man. In other words, God makes each of us fundamentally responsible for the life of our fellow man. We are responsible not to harm or kill, responsible to defend and protect, and in verse 6, we are responsible to bring justice to the one who does harm or kill. Capital punishment is instilled, and this command is viewed by many as the very first establishment of human government, with a firm foundation in justice. And why? Because every human is made in the image of God. Do justly and love mercy to honor God's image. Moving on to verse 8. "Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, 'Behold, I establish my covenant with you and your offspring after you.'" That word covenant appears 8 times in this chapter. So covenant is key. It is the way in which God forms relationship with mankind. Every core relationship in your life needs a covenant, whether it is written or spoken or simply understood. Think of it this way. Imagine marriage without any promises or commitments. Do as you wish and go as you please. That's a marriage bound for frustration. Really, it's not a marriage at all. We step into marriage because we intend to commit to one another, and we must understand clearly just what we are committing to. But what about your relationship with God? Do you know the promises that he has made to you? Do you know what you've committed to for him? If you don't, you're bound to get frustrated. We read the Bible to get to know God and to understand our covenant. The entire Bible is structured around covenants, split between an old one and a new one. The word testament means covenant. The covenant established here with every living creature is explained in verse 11. "I establish my covenant with you, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." So the heart of the Noah covenant is mercy. Never again will flood destroy us all. Noah's covenant is foundational to what it means to be human in this world. In this life, God promises mercy, but we are responsible for justice. Then in verse 12, "And God said, 'This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you, and every living creature that is with you, for all future generations. I have set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth.'" So God sealed the deal on this covenant with a sign that the whole world would see, a rainbow. It's sort of like God's signature at the bottom of the contract, only God's handwriting is huge and he signed with Crayolas. But wait a second, science explains rainbows, right? So we don't need silly myths. Hold on, rainbows are awesome, and the fact that we can explain them scientifically only puts me more in awe of the God who made them. Explaining how a stealth bomber works does not negate the need for design engineers. It just reveals their awesomeness. Every time I see a rainbow, I think three things. God is awesome, God has mercy, and God keeps his promises. So what about the other covenants in the Bible? Here's a quick review. Through Adam, God made a covenant of free will with mankind. Freedom within boundaries, real freedom with real consequences. Through Noah, God made a covenant of mercy with all living things. Through Abraham, God made a covenant of promise with a chosen people, promised descendants, and a promised land. Through Moses, God made a covenant of law with Israel. Follow this law, and you will be my people, and I will be your God. Through David, God made a covenant for a king, a descendant of David, to reign forever. Then one more covenant is promised, foretold in Jeremiah 31. It's called the New Covenant, a promise made of a whole new relationship with God, one that would fulfill the purpose of all that came before, the freedom, the mercy, the promise, the law, and the king. So what covenant is that? Do you remember what Jesus said with the wine at the Last Supper? He said, "This is my blood of the new covenant. Drink it." Did you catch that? Drink blood, new covenant? Remember I told you that covenant is at the core of what it means to be a Jew or a Christian. So here's what I mean. Our faith is not a belief system. It is a covenant with God. That covenant is based on our beliefs, but belief alone is nothing more than philosophy or ideology. My life in Jesus is not founded on ideology. It is founded on a mutual commitment of love, a promise forged in his blood and sealed by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is our rainbow. See, I was born Israelite, not because I believed something, but because God made a covenant with my ancestor Abraham, and the promises that God made included me, whether I believed them or not. I became a Christian, not when I believed in Jesus, but soon after, when I came to the altar to commit my life. Remember, this whole covenant in Genesis 9 is given to Noah at the altar. Just as a bride and groom step up to an altar to sacrifice the life behind and commit to the relationship ahead, we step to the altar with Jesus, to the cross, committed to each other and finding a new relationship and eternal life in his blood. Read Genesis 9 today. Dig into the promises and the responsibilities of our covenant with God. And if you've never made a commitment to Jesus, maybe it's time for you to step up to the altar.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.